Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to the Yes Alive show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes Alive, the UK charity that's been advocating for integrative medicine for those with cancer for two decades. And I'm delighted to be able to report there is some progress in that direction, although not nearly enough, as we've been swimming against a strong existing current, going in another direction altogether. But I think the tide may be finally turning in our favour. My guest today is someone who's also been swimming against that same current, the current that puts profit ahead of people, for more like three decades, pushing for some interest in a straightforward and credible means to tackle cancers of all type, definitely not something that fits the business plan of the cancer industry. I'm talking to Jay Kulch in India.
Great to welcome you as my guest on the Yes Alive show.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be speaking about a topic that I have to say, I don't think it's ever been the subject of a Yes Alive show in all the last 8 years, electrotherapy. So if you give them just a few minutes to convince someone with cancer that electrotherapy is something they should consider seriously, what would you say to them?
Well, in the cancer growth process, the most critical enzyme is this ribonucleotide reductase. It converts the building blocks of RNA into those of DNA. And RNA is used for so many purposes, so those building blocks are always there. Only when cell is ready to divide, then it converts them into DNA for DNA synthesis. And this enzyme is the bottleneck for that. And in any cancer, when you look at the activity of the enzymes, this by far is the most active enzyme. And so people have been trying to block this enzyme by different chemo drugs. And this has been going on for more than 50 years.
Right.
But chemo drugs obviously have side effects and they are not able to just selectively block this enzyme. So with this electrotherapy, we are taking advantage of the fact that the enzyme has a free radical at its active site. Active site is like a heart. Mm-hmm. So if you can quench that free radical, if you can destroy that free radical, then you essentially destroy the enzyme and it doesn't function anymore. So I came up with the idea that free radical is nothing but unpaired electron. And we can quench that electron, destroy that electron, or pair up that electron if we pass gentle electric current through the tissue. And this was just an idea of mine in 1994. So then I went to look at the research, cancer research being done in all directions, and I found enough animal studies to affirm that this actually is possible. And best results were obtained when they did not use too much current, because too much current will cause electrochemistry, which is toxic, and also it uses up electrons for something else. So the key is to keep the electron voltage low, so there's no electrochemistry, and you gently pass the current to the tissue and destroy this enzyme. And every study till then, there were about 10 studies, were in accordance with my proposition. And I published this thing in 1997.
Okay, so you've come up with a suggestion then for a new approach to something they've been trying to do for a long time, using electricity to actually interrupt a process of cancer, if you like.
Right.
Put a spanner in the works. And okay, well, look, you've covered a lot of ground there quickly. So I'm going to want to go into a lot of what you said in more detail as we go on. But just to talk about your idea as a whole. So you've been on, and you're still on, a very, very long journey with electrotherapy, something like 3 decades. Sadly, this is par for the course for anyone with something new to bring to the table in cancer, new thinking or new clinical experience. You're far from the first to find this kind of resistance. Just can I ask how you got onto this track in the first place, and what were your hopes at the outset?
Well, I learned about this enzyme in the late 70s as a graduate student at University of California, Los Angeles. I got interested because I was an inorganic chemist, but I wanted to learn or synthesize compounds that have some application to the real world, to the biology. And so I went into biochemistry, and I decided to propose a research idea based on the structure of this enzyme. So then that is when I learned about this unique structure of the active site of this enzyme.
Right.
And later on, I did not finish my PhD, but later on in 1993, I went back to UCLA Medical Library. I lived nearby, and I looked through the structure of this enzyme, and in mammalian enzyme also, it turned out to be the structure is same. Because in the late 70s, it was only bacterial enzyme that they knew about.
Right.
So then my first thing, this is surprising, is that this active site of the enzyme is the place where cancer is initiated. Because I had this idea in the late 70s that if you look at the structure of these carcinogenic chemicals, they are uniquely suited to disturb the site. So that was my big hope, that that structure remains something consistent and it will be vulnerable to these carcinogenic chemicals. And that is when I wrote an article and I met Dr. James Watson in New York. And at that time, I couldn't convince him that biochemistry has a real role to play in cancer.
Right.
But later on, he admitted in an article in New York Times in 2016, that biochemistry is where we will most likely find the cause of cancer.
Can I just go back to James Watson for a second there? Very interesting. Just so everybody's aware that James Watson, if you like, kick-started the whole research into the genetic side of cancer. And he remained convinced for most of his life that they were going to find the answers there. But as you pointed out, in his late life, he's turned full circle and said, well, actually, no, we've been barking up the wrong tree. The answers aren't going to be found there. And
exactly.
What you've been saying is that you've, rather than looking into that side of things, you've looked into the biology of the cell. You're looking at what's going
on. Well, I was slightly dissecting.
Okay, go on.
Cancer researchers have been focusing on biology of the cell too much. They have to look at the biochemistry of the cell.
Biology is the
what you see, the effect of the biochemical processes. But you have to look at the biochemistry because it is the chemicals that cause most of the cancers.
Right. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. That's good.
Yeah, because most cancer research departments, institutions, they do have a department called biology of cancer, but they do not normally have a department is studying biochemistry of cancer, which is
right.
What I think is not right.
Okay, interesting. So anyway, you came along, you basically had a bit of a light bulb moment early on there that told you, look, there's potential for interrupting the process of cancer in a new way. I imagine you must have been very fired up. And what were your hopes at the outset?
See, in 1993, when I went and met Dr. Watson, at that time, I only had the idea that this is most likely the site where cancer is initiated. But when nobody cared for that, and I couldn't convince any of the scientists who were working on the enzyme, then I came up with the idea that electricity may destroy this free radical, and thus it will become a method of treatment. And the idea occurred to me because I knew that chemicals cause cancer, but chemicals are also used to treat cancer.
Right.
Likewise, radiations cause cancer, and they are also used to treat cancer.
Very good point.
Similarly, electricity at high voltage causes leukemia. So then I said, how about electricity treating cancer? And then occurred to me, there is a free radical here, so that would be the best way to do it.
Well, it's very interesting, isn't it? That, I mean, it's obviously it's a very striking feature of cancer treatments that the main modalities, well, two of three of the main long-term modalities they use are actually cancer-causing approaches. Chemicals are carcinogens, and people do get cancer from the treatment. And similarly, radiation is, and that also causes cancers later on.
Right.
So, it's a very interesting observation to make. And I didn't know that an electric shock could give you leukemia. That's a new piece of information, but also very interesting.
In fact, in 1992, I read an article in Time magazine that in Sweden, they had observed that people who live near high-voltage electric lines,
yes,
they have much higher rate of leukemia.
Right.
And that is what inspired me to go in January of 1993 to the UCLA Biomedical Laboratory and look into the structure of the enzyme.
Right. How fascinating. Well, you set out enthusiastically back in the last century to try and find people to turn your ideas into reality, to test them out, to find out whether there's any mileage in them. And I'm aware that you've made enormous efforts over that time to get your theory tested, to raise interest. And you've met largely with a resounding no thanks.
Most of the time, they just ignore. They don't want to acknowledge.
Right. There's probably too much to tell now, but perhaps you can summarize the avenues you pursued, and this have proved to be a dead end. What happened?
Well,
apart from the ones who just ignored you.
Yeah. After I had this confirmation that electrotherapy does help in anybody's studies in 1994, I sent a letter to National Cancer Institute of USA, as well as all the so-called comprehensive cancer centers. There were about 10 or 12. I sent them even the top articles which showed the electrotherapy effectiveness and my ideas.
Right.
And then I did not get a response, so I called them. I called them a couple of times. So out of about 12, only three responded. And one was National Cancer Institute, and it told me to go to a place called City of Hope Medical Center that is near Los Angeles and talk to somebody who has been working on electricity. And that was a big hope. And I went there, and there was a Dr. Chow who had gone to China with this. His method was more like electrochemistry rather than electrotherapy. And he had good results in some cases because he didn't apply to high voltage. And luckily, there was another scientist there in that City of Hope Medical Center who was working on this enzyme. And he totally agreed with me. He agreed with me, this is likely the site of initiation, and the gentle electrotherapy will block the enzyme. So I was elated. I was so happy that day.
I imagine.
Yeah, but then they said, okay, we are going to set up a collaboration agreement. And I waited for that phone call or that letter. But in 10 days, when I called them, they said, management doesn't see any point in pursuing this. And this line was, it won't bring patients, because they meant patients with big money.
It's not going to generate income.
Right. And so that has been my big disappointment. And then I did get a letter from MD Anderson Cancer Center which was also very encouraging. It said that my ideas are very interesting and worth pursuing, but they don't. They will keep it in their files for some future opportunity. But obviously, right. That opportunity hasn't come even now after 30 years.
You're still waiting.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So you mentioned there what is potentially the largest obstacle to interesting new ideas about treating a disease that, let's face it, is getting the better of us as a species. Is the money, and it's not the lack of money to do
it. Too much of it.
There's too much money, and it's actually it's a business, and the people have a business model they don't want to threaten with any new ideas.
Right, and this is as much true in UK as it is in USA, because when I was able to publish my articles in 1997 in a journal, then I sent that article to about 300 cancer institutions around the globe. And in the UK, I think there were about 8 of them, 8 cancer centers that I sent that to. And 7 of them replied, which was a very high rate. And all of them said, we do not have facility to test this. And this 8th one who did not reply was actually a center which had done similar studies, and I had cited their study in my article. That is the one that did not reply.
Right. You thought that was probably the best hope of the lot, and they didn't even reply.
Right. And outside the UK, around the globe, only a company from India replied, and the top cancer institute here called Tata Memorial Center, it replied, and it wanted to collaborate with me. But even they got cold feet within a month. They just changed their mind.
So they, you say they changed their mind, but somebody warned them off, basically.
That's what happens. They said, what will happen to all the chemotherapy and radiations?
You get some genuine interest from scientists who see potential for your work in regard to their patients, you know, clinicians and scientists who are genuinely interested in helping. And then you have the people who are interested in looking after the business model, who have more power, and they all get warned off. It's a horrible thing. I noticed you quoted a statement of Upton Sinclair, social reformer and author, on your website. It's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it.
That is
which so I think true. Is a good quote. It's unthinkable the totally massive nature of the effect of that one thing on the progress of medicine. It's just like shocking to think about how much effect it's having. When you look at yours is one example, as I say, of many, where people have come along with something worthwhile that's definitely worth investigating. It doesn't fit with the model of business that's going on, and it just gets ignored, frankly.
Yeah, they talk about disruptive innovation. This is an extreme example of it.
Right.
I mean, they do not want to face this. It's like these defense contractors, they do not look forward to a war where there will be total peace. Then what will they do?
Right. Exactly. Right. So that's one of the issues. I think another issue maybe that you're saddled with is the fact of what we were talking about earlier, is that the prevalent model of cancer research is entirely around genes, and you're coming at it from a completely different direction. How much has that impacted your ability to be heard?
Well, that is part of it, but that doesn't affect the fact that even other cancer researchers, they also try to block chemical pathways, biochemical pathways. So that is not new. Even those who believe that genes cause cancer, they still want to synthesize chemo drugs that block biochemical pathways. So they'd want to disagree with me that this enzyme is important, even if it is not the initiation point. But they don't. Their position is simply because it is going to disrupt too much.
Right, right. Okay, now there's one thing you mentioned when you're talking about the work had gone on with China. You're talking about two different processes. And I just wanted to distinguish between the two. You said that in China, they were applying higher voltage, and therefore they were in the area of electrochemistry.
There was a Swedish scientist called Nordenstrom.
Yes.
He had this idea of treating cancer with electricity, and his electricity was around 10 volts, which is, and the electrochemistry starts at around 3 volts.
Okay.
So obviously with his strength of electricity, there will be electrochemistry in the body, and that causes a lot of toxic side effects.
Right.
So, but even then he was able to see some benefit in some cases.
Okay.
And that is what that China thing was in 1994.
I see. So that threshold of 3 volts, and below that, there's one kind of process is going on which doesn't produce spurious chemistry, which has another effect. It just has an effect on electrons. But above that, you're into a territory where you're creating chemistry, and therefore the effects are wider and maybe more destructive.
Right. And this 3 volt is not very exact. It depends on the tissue.
Okay.
And also depends upon where you place the electrode. Because if you are placing electrode on the surface without inserting it in the tissue itself, then you can increase this 3 volt to a little bit higher.
I see.
So you can go up to 6 volt because no electrode is touching the medium, or so to speak, of the tissue. So electrochemistry cannot take place.
Right. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up. Just want to be sure what we're talking about. So on the positive side, I was wondering, well, what have you managed to achieve in 30 years? I mean, what's happened that you would describe as a step forward, as a success?
But the main thing was for me to show that this thing not only works in animal studies, but also with humans.
Okay.
And nobody was willing to, no cancer scientists were willing to take on this. So I established a website and I tried to promote this idea. And then the visitors told me to maybe make a device yourself. So I made a very primitive device in 2000 to 2010.
Yeah.
And then one person who was an electronic engineer, he built his own device to treat his father-in-law.
Right.
And he was able to treat it, which you see those photos on my website. And then it got me the idea that I should get a device built like that. So then I got that device built, and I came to India in 2010 in the hope that I will have some collaboration with some scientists or some hospitals or clinics here. And only one doctor in Agra, the Taj Mahal city, was willing to collaborate with me.
Right.
But even he stopped collaborating when two patients clearly showed benefit.
Right. You were doing better when it didn't work. Oh, dear. I mean, it's shocking, isn't it, when you hear this stuff, because it's you know, that people are literally scared off by the fact that something could just provide a huge step forward and therefore change the model that they're all working in so radically. It's shocking, really, that the fear of the change it will bring is greater than the desire to help people.
Yes, from the point of view of cancer patients, it is very unfortunate.
It's more than unfortunate, you're right. I think you and I have both reached the same conclusion that for change to actually happen in oncology, we need to be talking to those with a genuine investment in finding answers rather than an investment in just looking for answers. And so I'm referring, of course, to people with cancer. So you started to want to address directly the people who stand to benefit from your ideas. Is that right?
Right. I mean, that's that is why I, from my website, I hope some cancer patients contact me. And most of the time they contact me in a very late stage.
Yes.
So at that point, we can only relieve pain.
Right.
We cannot help much. But recently, this lady in Oregon, which is just north of California, she contacted me last year. She had these two tumors under her lower eyelid. And she was so persistent. She kept using the treatment every day.
Yes.
And it benefit very clear. But after a few months, the benefit stopped. Her two tumors had become one, but we were not seeing any further diminishing of the size, just as it was not shrinking anymore.
Right.
And then it occurred to me that most likely the tumor is no longer growing. Because if the tumor is not growing, then we don't have that enzyme.
Right.
So the electrotherapy cannot do much.
Right. It doesn't need to, actually, because it's not a danger when it's not growing anymore.
Right. So then I suggested to her that if we use needle electrode, then we are going to disturb the tumor. And then it should try to grow again and we can shrink it. And she took upon my, I was gingerly suggesting it.
Right.
And but she took on the idea. She said, send me the needle electrode. And sure enough, when she used them, there was some bleeding, but it was good kind of bleeding. Because bleeding was from the cancer itself. And then cancer started shrinking, and soon it was totally gone.
Amazing.
And it confirms my proposition that it is the enzyme which is active that we are targeting. This is the enzyme, the free radical.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to come back to that again. On the whole process you've been through, I mean, frankly, it's quite incredible that you're still so motivated after 30 years, having generated so little interest from cancer research as a whole. I mean, what is it that keeps you going?
Well, I think this is a big prize. I mean, this is not a simple thing, because you keep hearing this thing that cancer is a very complex disease, that it is not one disease, it is a collection of hundreds of diseases. This is the normal thing you hear.
Yes.
And this is a plea to give more money to cancer researchers.
Yes.
But my contention is that cancer is really a very simple disease. It looks complicated, it looks many diseases, simply because they are looking from the wrong perspective. It's just like planetary motion. Astronomers, when they thought that it is the Earth that is at the center of the motion, then they found the planetary motion very complicated. But once they had the right perspective that it is the Sun that is at the center, that all that complexity was
yes.
gone. Everything became simple and rational.
That's a great analogy, yes.
So I certainly say that this is exactly what is happening here. If we look at the biochemistry of cancer and see that this is the most active enzyme in cancer. If the cancer is initiated here, then really there is no difference whether the cancer is in pancreas or it is in your brain or it is in prostate.
Mm, yeah, that's all the same.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Interesting. Okay, so look, let's go a little bit into the nuts and bolts of electrotherapy now. It is quite a complicated concept for many people, I think, but people may just think of it as you're trying to electrocute cancer, but it's actually quite a sophisticated concept. There's some good scientific thinking behind it. Do you want to just tell us again now, we're going to talk about why electricity has an effect on cancer, what it is exactly the electricity is doing.
Electricity is a collection of electrons. And electrons are free-flowing electrons. And then we have to look at the chemistry. In the chemistry, all bonds are formed by sharing or exchanging electrons. All chemical bonds are defined by this process, sharing electron or exchanging electrons. And there is only one exception to that thing, and this is called free radical.
Okay.
Free radical is a chemical compound that doesn't share or exchange electron. It just stays there as a lone electron. And these chemical compounds are very unstable. So if we combine this chemistry understanding with the fact that electricity is nothing but the flow of electrons, then we can see that if we provide some electrons to this lone electron called free radical, then it is going to pair up with one of those electrons which are passing by.
Okay.
And then you destroy free radical.
That's interesting. So free radicals is something that a lot of people talk about, on this show particularly. So these are undesirable in large quantities as they cause damage.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, they cause damage. And they're like a sort of wild card wandering around your body with, they're not properly sort of paired up and therefore stable. They're, as you say, they're kind of unstable, and they can cause trouble when they come into contact with other tissues because they have this kind of attraction, if you like. They're looking, by only having a single electron, they're effectively not paired up, and so they go in there and cause trouble. So
right.
You're saying, well, look, we come along, we supply them with the thing that they don't have, which is another electron to pair up with.
And yeah.
In doing that, we actually neutralize the negativity that they create. Is that a reasonable picture?
Right. I want to add something which is very interesting. That
okay.
Free radicals are normally considered bad actors. And we talk about antioxidants. Antioxidants are good for us, because they mop up these wild free radicals.
Yes.
But recent research has shown, and this is, I'm going to cite a paper by a lady of MIT, biochemist, and a person and biochemist of Harvard. They jointly wrote an article in 2021. It is called Free Radicals in Biology, Your Life is in Their Hands.
Interesting. Okay.
And they say that our image of free radicals is at best bad actors. But really, this enzyme, ribonucleotide reductase, has a free radical which acts as a signal. When they say your life in their hands means these free radicals also act as triggers, as signals. So this free radical most likely acts as a trigger for cell to divide.
Just to be clear, of course, we need that at times. It's not that we don't need cells to divide. That's part of the process of life, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. But
it should be regulated.
Should be regulated. Okay. Interesting distinction. Right. Thank you. So it's a very important process, which we need, and therefore there's nothing wrong with it, but it's the regulation of it that goes wrong. And then we're in trouble because things start dividing uncontrollably.
Right.
So this is the process you want to interrupt, is kind of when this enzyme has gone rogue, if you like, and is acting in a way which is not to our to our detriment.
Correct.
Right. Interesting. So maybe you could just describe what the process looks like practically now. So you're saying you're applying a low voltage electric current directly to the tissue that's affected. So do you want to tell us what that looks like?
Well, if the tumor is inside the skin, we only can treat those tumors which are near the surface, because if a tumor is in the liver, then you need a surgeon to plant electrodes there.
But you could treat a liver cancer.
It is universal cancer treatment.
You're right.
That also is scary to many of cancer researchers.
Yes.
So what we do, the device that we provide, you have to prepare, if the tumor is just under the skin, then you have to prepare the skin on top of the tumor. So you remove the dead skin cells so the current can flow through that part.
Okay.
And then you place an electrode that I make, which is covered in a cloth, and under the cloth and between the skin, we put the electrode gem.
Okay.
So the current can flow easily, and it doesn't burn the skin.
Right.
And we put another electrode on some normal skin surface so that the current flows through the malignant area. If the tumor is large, then we can put both electrodes on tumor.
I see.
So in case of that lady, there's a picture of her where the other electrode is on her other cheek.
Right.
So one electrode is on top of the tumor, other is on the cheek. And if there is a need for using needle electrode, then obviously that needle electrode has to be inserted, only the tip exposed, rest insulated in the tumor, and other part can be just like before, surface electrode.
You talked about this electronic engineer developing a more sophisticated model than the one you'd made. What did he bring to the table? Why? In what way was it more sophisticated than your own?
Yeah, my device was very primitive, because with electronics, you can regulate the current and voltage, because we can say that we want to pass the current at constant 2 voltage. So if the resistance in the body goes down, then the current will be a little bit higher, which is not a problem because we are limiting the voltage. And sometimes when we know how much current we can pass, then we need to pass, then we can just fix that current and let the voltage change, because we know that voltage will not go higher for this range of current, and it may go lower. Let me give an example of my own.
Okay.
I have a prostate cancer for the last 6 years, and I had been treating it, now and then with my own device, and I always pass 20 milliampere current, and depending on a day, sometimes the voltage is the 2.9, sometimes 2.2, so if the connection is good, I get at 2.2, and
right.
That helps me. So I kept my prostate cancer in control by using my own method.
Interesting. So what he produced was a device that allowed for the variations that happen both in the body and in the connection you might have to the body, which could be variable.
Yeah, that is the beauty of the electronic circuit, that when it is told that keep the current at this level, and obviously in electronic device, you can also set the time that pass the current for 4 hours, which is quite a standard.
Right.
So that is the beauty of it. And then this electronic device is not all that complicated, but still it is a big help, because it keeps the current steady or the voltage steady, and it shuts off when the time is over.
All right. Excellent. All right. So that leads us on to the question, well, look, if somebody's listening to the show now, and they're interested to look into electrotherapy, what do you recommend they do?
They can contact me from the website, and I send my device and electrodes all over the globe.
Okay.
And I can help them set up thing if they have some questions over a web meeting and a video meeting, or I can use the phone. And right now there are two other patients, both are also in USA, who are benefiting from this therapy. And one is a nurse in Arizona. She had a tumor on her head, and it is mostly gone. I would say 80 to 90% gone, but I haven't posted her pictures yet. So I'm just waiting for her to totally heal. And interestingly, it is this nurse that I dared suggest using needle electrodes.
Yes.
And when she used needle electrodes, she got such good results that she wrote to me, thank you for suggesting this. And I forwarded that email to that other lady in Oregon, and that got her excited.
Right. How interesting.
That was big help for me.
So what you're saying is that this treatment is safe enough for people to apply it themselves.
Yes.
And it doesn't require specialist care or as long as it's a tumor that's on the surface and not internal, then it doesn't need medical experts in order to support them.
Right. It has to be within a centimeter or so.
Right. Okay. Do you want to give the address of your website so people can have a read?
Cancer-treatment.net.
Okay, great.
And they can always Google search for the GIPE name, G-E-I-P-E.
G-E-I-P-E, that's the name you give to your treatment.
Yeah. Stands for general electrotherapy.
I see.
And I is for inhibition. P-E is for pivotal enzyme. It doesn't matter whether it is a melanoma or basal cell carcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma. It is the same thing because biochemistry is same. So one of the person in the USA, a man in Alabama, he is treating his melanoma on his leg.
Right.
And it is mostly gone.
Amazing. Melanoma is a tough cookie. So that's quite interesting to a lot of people, I imagine. So look, it's been a really interesting talk. We're out of time. There's lots more we could talk about, but I think we've given it a fairly good airing. We've heard a lot about it. I sincerely hope in the very near future your efforts are going to be rewarded with a credible study to actually evaluate the efficacy of electrotherapy. But thanks so much for coming on to tell us about it today.
Thank you for inviting me. Nice to meet you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fascinating stuff, and Jay's offering to those with cancer certainly sounds like it could be of interest to many people. His website again, cancer-treatment.net, if you want to read more. Thanks so much for listening today. I'll be back as usual next week with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.